to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. Here are your hosts, Robert Gold and Andrew Brown.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the east. I can see Poisson, Quebec. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto, joined today by Anthony DeOrio, Founding Member of Bitcoin Alliance of Canada. Anthony, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Hi, Robert. Thanks for having me on.
And Anthony, this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. I'm so excited to speak with you. Bitcoin is getting global recognition as a new form of currency or a portal of exchange on the internet. It's confusing to a lot of people. The rate fluctuates up and down. Let's get into it a little bit. Tell us a bit about your background and Bitcoin in a nutshell, and then we'll get into the alliance.
My background, I got into Bitcoin about a year and a half ago in the summer. Bitcoin was priced at $10 at the time. I heard about it on a radio show. I'd never heard of Bitcoin before. And then I spent about the next 6 weeks, like didn't sleep much and just researching and delving into it. And so much information to go through. I made an investment at $10. About a month later, I started the Toronto Bitcoin Community Meetup Group, which we now have about 300 members. We meet every single week. We do different themed events. So Bitcoin, what is it? It is a digital currency, the first of its kind, that is decentralized, not owned or operated by any company, any country, any government, and allows people to send value from one person to another anywhere in the world instantly with little or negligible fees. It's a brilliant system. They've taken care of inflation with it, so there will be a fixed amount of bitcoins that will ever be produced, a total of 21 million. That'll happen sometime in the year 2140 or thereabouts. Bitcoin has a fixed and diminishing inflation rate, so you can always tell how many bitcoins will be in circulation. And in time, we'll see countries printing money and printing, basically inflating the system and reducing the value of the people with Bitcoin and people that own them. They know it's scarce. They know that any time in the future, they can see how many are in circulation. It's really an ingenious system, and it really removes the need for any type of mediator or anyone else to get in the way of transacting between two people. So where traditionally we have PayPal or we have Visa that facilitates the trades and makes sure that the system is running properly and or the purchase goes through, and they charge usually high amounts to do that. Bitcoin uses a system of computers all around the world that run a piece of software. It's a distributed network of thousands of computers all around the world that actually maintain the system. And in return for giving their computer power towards the system, they're rewarded in bitcoins. So that's their incentive to keep it running, keep it operating. It makes it so it's not a centralized system where any one computer goes down, the system will fail. It's thousands of computers. You can shut down the internet in one country, the system still works fine. It can't be shut down. Governments are looking at it right now. The benefits of Bitcoin, seeing where there are some issues with Bitcoin. Really exciting. I've never been so enthusiastic about something in my life. The communities are spurting up for Bitcoin. It really feels like the most important invention since the internet came about.
So let me ask you, can you explain to us in real simple terms how Bitcoins are created to allow a limited number in circulation at any one time? Where do they come from?
Sure. So without getting too complicated, Bitcoin is an open source software. Okay, that anybody can view the code. The code itself can't be changed. Only parts can be changed is that if 50% of the people that are running this software actually agree to it. So I have a computer. Initially, I would run a piece of software on the computer, and that is what you call mining. I would become a miner. Miners pool together their resources, and they facilitate all the trades. So they're the ones that are verifying all the transactions, making sure there's no double spends, making sure that these coins hadn't been spent before, making sure that they're valid trades. So this whole network is actually taking care of the verification. They're solving puzzles. So they're solving what's called cryptography, which is basically mathematics. And what they're trying to do is they're compiling blocks of code and making them into very tight blocks. And every 10 minutes, a block is created. And a block contains the data of all of the transactions. So each 10 minutes, a block is created. They get compiled in a ledger. It's like an accounting ledger, which displays every transaction for Bitcoin that's ever been done. This makes Bitcoin a completely transparent system where anybody can check an address for Bitcoin and see how many Bitcoins are in that wallet. They can see every single transaction that's been done. So these miners are building together the network and putting it into a ledger. And they are rewarded every 10 minutes by 25 Bitcoins. So 25 Bitcoins are released into the system. And whoever it is that is contributing that power, they're getting a percentage of those Bitcoins. So it's a system where the faster the computer you have, the more Bitcoins you're going to be rewarded. They are also collecting small fees that are associated with the transactions. So if I'm to send you $1 million, I can actually send you $1 million in Bitcoins for free. If you were to try to do that through PayPal, you would be paying about $30,000. If you want to put a little fee on top of that, the miners will then take your transaction and confirm it sooner and quicker, because now there's an incentive for them to do that transaction quicker, and then they will take the fees on that. So every 10 minutes, 25 Bitcoins is released, and that's all done through the software. So it's a set amount, and whoever is the one that contributes the most to it and solves these puzzles are rewarded the Bitcoins. And they're also rewarded all the mining fees that are associated with that 10-minute block of all the transactions.
So let's talk about the Bitcoin Alliance of Canada, bitcoinalliance.ca. What does this association, it's a brand new association, you launched publicly in November 2013 as a new slate, board of directors, have just been elected, they're all high-profile people. What does the association bring to this conversation of Bitcoin in Canada?
The Alliance came about it in April. It was started then. Bitcoin wasn't well represented in the media, so the price was skyrocketing at the time. And the media was looking for people to talk about Bitcoin, and I just didn't like the people that were coming on. They couldn't really relay Bitcoin clearly and professionally. So I got the idea for a national organization. I put out some press releases across Canada, got hundreds of people that responded to me. I was talking with them, getting ideas about how we should move forward, what our goals should be, our objectives. So from the initial objectives of just being and representing Bitcoin in the media, clearly professionally, we turned it into also getting out to merchants to start accepting Bitcoin, getting out to government and regulatory bodies to start opening discussions and talking about Bitcoin, providing key technical people that can explain it to the general population. So it's really turned into a large association that has many different goals. We've got 9 different committees right now. We have a 7-member board of directors. I was elected by the board as the executive director. And we're launching this week with a free membership basis and then with an upgraded pay membership for people that want voting rights. And this is all going to lead up to a big expo that we're doing in Metro Toronto Convention Center on April 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Now, let's talk about the business applications for Bitcoin in Canada. We have a national audience of entrepreneurs, owners, managers, people that are influential in the business community. How do they take advantage of this, and how do they avoid the risks?
Sure. Well, what we're seeing right now is turning the clock back to 1994 with the internet craze. We're seeing a lot of venture money coming up into Bitcoin projects. Bitcoin can influence a lot of different things. Because of its ability to do micropayments, it opens the doors to charities accepting Bitcoin, businesses being able to accept one without having to deal with Visa or credit card fees. There's exchanges popping up all over the world for Bitcoin right now. In Canada, we've got the big exchange called CA Vertex, which facilitates and gets people in and out of Bitcoin easily. We've got Bitcoin ATMs now that have launched in Vancouver. They'll be coming across the country now. We've got software developers getting involved in the space, learning the new technology, business owners that are starting to accept Bitcoin, brick and mortar stores, online shops are starting to accept Bitcoin. It really is exciting. It enables people to transact freely is what it does without someone else getting in the way.
So let's step back to the Bitcoin ATM. And in fact, we've reached out to the individual at Bitcoiniacs. Yeah, so hopefully we'll have him on the show in the next month or so. But I'm curious as to if I went into any kind of a facility where there was an ATM, why would I want a Bitcoin ATM? What does this do for me as a consumer or as a business that has this machine on their premises?
It's all about facilitating ease of use of Bitcoin and getting people into Bitcoin so that they can start spending them or they can start buying online and anywhere in the world using Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is instant. It's very simple. There's very little friction in doing a Bitcoin transaction. So these ATMs have opened another door for people to get Bitcoins. Initially, you'd have to use an exchange where you're setting up your bank account information. It takes time to get verified. With the ATM, you can just go there, put cash in the machine. It buys it from the exchange from you immediately, and then you're walking away with the Bitcoins on your phone. Then you can go take those Bitcoins and you can go sell them back into the machine, and they'll give you the fair market value. So if these start popping up all over Canada, it's just going to be like it is with an ATM, and people are going to get the ease of access of getting into Bitcoin. It makes sense for merchants to start accepting it, and it's going on all over the world right now where people are starting to accept Bitcoin, because with it, getting rid of the middleman enables you to give discounts to your customers. Instead of paying the fees that PayPal or Visa charges, you can now offer discounts to your customers to pay with Bitcoin. And if you believe in the fundamentals of Bitcoin being really strong and that it is scarce, it's very useful, and that it's a tool to facilitate transactions, then you're going to hold on to those Bitcoins. So as a merchant, you could decide if you want to hold on to the Bitcoins and let the value increase, or you can sell them and they can be deposited into your bank account. There's services out there to allow you to do that. Merchants don't have to be speculators. If they do, they can hold on to the Bitcoins and hopefully the value goes up, which is where I think it's going to happen. It's exploding around the world now. China's taking hold of it. People are finding out about it. They want to get involved with it. They're getting verified on the exchanges now, and I just see it going up and up and up. We hit $1,000 today for Bitcoin.
So let me ask you this. Napster opened the door to digital music. Is Bitcoin opening the door to digital currency? Is it going to be the first of many? Is it going to fall by the wayside because it was the first in and then get swamped? Or do you see this as the one that will be there?
There are hundreds of altcoins, as they call them right now, which are alternative currencies to Bitcoin, but most of them are built on the Bitcoin network, the same Bitcoin system. Bitcoin's just so far ahead of anything else right now. The next closest altcoin is roughly around $28 right now, and that's Litecoin. So Bitcoin's at $1,000 a piece. Litecoin's at $28. Just has such a head start. I focus on Bitcoin myself. I believe you don't want to confuse other people with all these other digital currencies. That's the one that we push forward on. That's the one I believe in. I think we're getting up to 1,500 in the next week or so, and I eventually see it in the hundreds of thousands.
Well, I've been following Bitcoin for quite a while since it launched because the technology fascinates me. It came out, it was looked at as kind of a renegade thing, and then all of a sudden, over the last number of months, the rise has been quite exponential. Why is it popping up and down? It changes from exchange to exchange. Why is there not one steady rate? I mean, can we really call it a currency with wild fluctuations? Or in fact, is that what defines a currency?
I think that we're so new into the whole technology. We're so new into Bitcoin right now. I think it's reached its five-year mark right now. There's going to be the ups and downs. People just haven't heard about it, and that's what's growing. Less than 1% of the population still knows about Bitcoin in the world. Once that keeps moving up, there's going to be more demand to get into it because Bitcoin survives on its merits. Again, it's a system that enables you to transact one-to-one anywhere in the world instantly with little or no fees. It's really an ingenious system, and it's a scarce and limited supply, and there's enough Bitcoins to go around the world because each Bitcoin is divisible by 100 million units. We'll be a total of 21 million times 100 million units. Plenty of units for anybody to use this anywhere in the world. So it survives on the fact that it's an excellent system for transferring money. It survives because it's an excellent currency. It's cryptographically secure, which means it's mathematically secure. It's an open source project, and it's completely decentralized, run all around the world. Can't be shut down. You'd have to shut down the internet in order for it to stop working.
Okay, so as the managing partner of a firm of chartered accountants in Toronto, we charge our clients a fee. At this point, I accept cash, Visa, MasterCard, etc. I don't accept Bitcoin. If I did accept Bitcoin, how do I turn that into money so I can go shopping and pay my rent?
My accountant and my lawyer both accept Bitcoin, which is excellent. They understand the fundamentals. They want to hold on to that Bitcoin because they believe it's going to go up in value. So it can be transferred into cash through the exchanges. You sign up through the exchange, hook up your bank account, and then you're trading Bitcoins for other people who are trading it for fiat currencies, and then you can cash it out to your bank. You can also deal with local Bitcoin dealers. So there's sites out there where you're connecting between people. You meet them at coffee shops, just like you're doing a Craigslist trade. So you can do it that way. And now there's the ATMs coming up, which is even going to make it another choice that people can use to get in and out of Bitcoin. So there are options coming. The infrastructure is being built right now. It's growing rapidly. A lot of people are getting involved. A lot of money is coming into the projects and extremely exciting.
Now, short of reading all the Bitcoin 101s that are online at Amazon and various other places of the internet, is there an easy way for a business to get familiar with exactly what you're talking about, but quite frankly, not to get bogged down, but to understand, here's how I get into it, here's what it is, and here's how I take advantage? Is there a resource somewhere?
Yeah, there's companies out there that offer merchant services for Bitcoin, which can run alongside your other payment systems. So they'll offer either for online shops, they'll offer you with the cart system where you can pay in Bitcoin, and they can convert it immediately to dollars if you want, put it right into your bank. So if you're concerned and you don't want to be a speculator because of the value, transfer the Bitcoins that you have coming in, put it into your bank on a daily basis. There's no reason not to accept Bitcoin. Like it can add on to what any other service that you have, and you're not paying the costs that are associated with Visa or with PayPal or Interact even. It's much cheaper fees. You will pay a small fee in order to convert it out. I think it's like less than 1% if you want to convert them out. And it's just much cheaper than every other system out there. There really is no reason to start accepting Bitcoin. The press opportunities are huge. If you can become the first in your industry to start accepting Bitcoin, you will get a ton of press from the community, and that can only help your bottom line.
So let me ask you this question, or ask you to get on a soapbox for a second, or maybe I'm on the soapbox. We now have Bitcoin, an accepted digital currency. We have crowdfunding, and we've spoken to individuals that are members of the Crowdfunding Association of Canada and other crowdfunding experts, pundits, involved people with Kickstarter. It seems to me that things like Bitcoin and crowdfunding represent a new paradigm on the internet, something that wasn't there a year, two, three, or four ago, the way it is now. We're at the hockey stick curve of excitement over crowdfunding and Bitcoin. Do you think we're at some kind of new paradigm? And what do you see happening over the next couple of years with these kinds of scenarios?
Sure. It all comes down to me with a removal of centralized systems. When these systems are spread out to systems all around the world or multiple peoples that are doing, you're just pooling together your resources and you're becoming a part of the whole. And that's what's been the complete change. Before, everything's centralized. The banks are all centralized. Governments are centralized. The payment systems, the Visas, the PayPals are all centralized systems. So they're the ones that are individually doing transactions with the crowdsourcing things. You're being able to take little bits from every little person and put it together. And that's showing that you're being supported by these large groups of people and not just these tight-knit individual groups. So the internet has enabled us to do that. Bitcoin's allowing us to have more freedom with our money, to hold onto your money, to be your own bank, and not have to let anybody else be in control of your savings and having it being degraded every year because of inflation. It's a really good way to keep your wealth, hold onto it, and it's that it's a payment system and functions the way that it does is just spectacular.
Well, it sounds to me like that old song, Power to the People. Final question for you. Final question. What are the three things that you would advise business owners today that want to explore the use of Bitcoin in their venture? Three things that come to mind, they do it right.
Sure. So I do a meetup group in Toronto. We do four events every month. We do a business and entrepreneurs roundtable. So we're getting merchants or people that are interested in learning about Bitcoin, come in, speak to the experts, speak to other merchants that are already doing it, see how easy it is to get involved, see where the savings can come from, research it. I can tell you how good it is, but until you do your own research and start looking at it and start using it and seeing how it works, I won't be able to get you into it. You're going to have to make your own decision yourself. And just see if you're happy with the way the banks work right now. See if you're happy with the fees that you're paying to these credit card companies or to these debit card companies or to PayPal to do your transactions and see if there might be a way that Bitcoin can be added to your service where you're not paying those fees, you're making your customers happy. Everybody can win that way, I think.
Well, you've given me something to think about in our CA firm, but what's the marketing message? How do I now go to my client base and say, we accept Bitcoin? How do I explain to them, in simple terms, something that encourages and compels them to use this currency?
Bitcoin is a currency and a payment system all rolled into one. It allows people to interact freely between each other without needing someone else to get involved or to mediate the transaction. It's scarce. I believe that personally that the value will consistently be going up because it is scarce and it is so useful. I believe that it will be the future payments that the world is using. I believe the banks are starting to take notice and starting to get involved. It could be good opportunities for banks to start getting involved in the mining space or get involved in the transaction space. It's going to be opportunities for them. I think if you get on board early, you're going to be ahead of the curve. It's going to be better for your business. That's what I see as.
Well, it certainly has the eyes and ears of the governing bodies in North America. In Canada and the U.S. Congress, they've all looked at this to see how does it affect their own economy and how they integrate it. Anthony DiOrio, Executive Director, Founding Member, Bitcoin Alliance of Canada, bitcoinalliance.ca. This was terrific. I want to have you back on. Anthony, thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you so much.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountant in Toronto. If you want to discuss the tax effects of using Bitcoin in your business, we didn't even get into that, but they are significant. Give me a shout, robert@businesscast.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night, Poisson, Quebec.